Chapter 9.
Oh my goodness! Jonas gasped when he saw our band of warriors ride back into town. I was starting to fear you were never coming back.
Tyrion landed on the ground, so my friends and I dismounted before we went on to greet the village.
Come on, Mr. Soothsayer. I winked at the elderly dragonkin. You know better than that. Besides, you could have just meditated on it and looked into the future to see.
You and I both know that's not how it works.
Jonas grumbled and put his hands on his hips.
I'm just glad to see you're all back in one piece. And so is...
Dear one!
George's voice called out telepathically as the sound of his footsteps thundered across the landscape. I looked up to see the water dragon charging at me in a blur of blue. His tongue was hanging out of his mouth like a dog with his head out the car window, and his eyes were full of pure bliss. He skidded to a stop a few feet away from me, pressed his head up against my own, and let out a happy chuff.
I'm glad to see you again too, buddy.
I patted the water dragon on his neck.
You always undersell yourself, Ben.
Mira purred as she walked up.
You're too humble for your own good.
Yeah?
Nima agreed.
I never would have thought up a plan like that in a million years. And on the spot, too. Take somebody special to make that happen.
Come on, ladies. I shook my head. You're gonna make me blush.
I'm just glad I could be a part of it.
Swa'er noted as he slithered down through the sky and landed on my shoulder.
I like to be a little helper.
The wind dragon has bonded with someone.
Jonas recoiled instantly as a look of shock spread across his face.
Oh yeah, it kind of happened in between the first battle and the second. You know, when you and George were down here in the village.
Why didn't anyone come and get me?
The raven-haired soothsayer sighed.
That was a historic moment for our people.
Well, we didn't want to backtrack and lose our chance.
And then somebody would have had to bring you back to the village, unless you really wanted to take part in the battle.
It was a lot easier to just explain everything when we got back.
Very well. Who did the little fella end up bonding with?
Me.
Batari announced, as she dismounted her Mirak.
It was quite a strange ordeal.
Jonas and George exchanged knowing glances, and then George hung his head sadly.
I'll let you study me. But you can't really blame me for going with Nadia, can you?
I most certainly can.
Jonas clapped his hands together.
Why would it have been anyone other than Batari? She's the one Swa'er had been literally sleeping on for the last day.
Nadia is pregnant with Ben's child, though. It was about as good of a guess as any.
Do you mind telling me what's going on here?
I pointed back and forth between the soothsayer and the water dragon.
Oh, George and I just had a friendly wager going about who Swa'er would bond with. I figured it would be Batari, but our blue-scaled friend here thought it was going to be Nadir.
If I won, he was going to give me his portions of boar for the next month. If he won, then I agreed to let him use me as a study specimen.
A study specimen? Like a lab rat he can poke, prod, and experiment on.
Not quite that dramatic. I just want to know everything I can about these wonderful dragons that inhabit our world, especially if there are still more species out there to be discovered. I took our water dragons for granted before and never took the time to study them properly. All I'm going to do is run some simple tests on George. Nothing dangerous, mind you, just some tests that will help me understand how his mind and body work.
Well, that sounds like a fair trade-off to me. For what it's worth, my money was on Batari, too.
What? But we don't even know if she's pregnant yet.
Yeah.
Nadir clicked her tongue as she joined the conversation.
I wouldn't have bet on me either. I'm saving myself for one of those fire dragons we saw in the volcano, remember?
How would I remember? I wasn't there. I suppose letting Jonas study me will be for the greater good of all our species, especially if he can make any discoveries about what makes the dragon bond work, though I get very nervous when people put instruments up against my body.
There will be no instruments. Nothing but my eyes, ears, and hands. And maybe some special herbs and oils. And perhaps a few specially made tools that might help me calculate or study things better.
So, instruments.
George raised a scaly eyebrow.
No!
Jonas shook his head.
Tools.
Either way, I am happy to see Swa'er has joined our family.
The blue water dragon continued.
Glad to finally talk to you, Swa'er. We have to be careful, you know. After what I just saw, this guy could put us out of a job. He took out an entire orc ship with one small blast of air. No way.
Swa'er shook his head furiously.
You set a whole wooden ship on fire. I can't do anything close to that yet. Not yet,
George noted.
But when you get a little older and have some proper training, whew, you'll be the strongest of us all.
So, it is true.
Zomwe's voice spoke up from the crowd.
Our queen mother has bonded with a wind dragon. It is true,
Batari explained to her shaman.
The dragon and I have a special bond, where we can now hear each other's thoughts and feel each other's emotions.
Incredible.
Zomwe gasped as her eyes widened.
There is nothing like that in any of our stories.
That's because we're not living in one of our old stories,
Ashanti declared.
This is a new dawn for the Chero people. From now on, we get to write our own story, and it all starts with our queen mother and her wind dragon.
Quick, let's get out of here before they decide to do another festival.
Batari burst out laughing at Tyrion's comment, and then the white-haired rhino woman doubled over and held her sides as she cackled like a mad woman. I felt her twinge of embarrassment when she realized nobody other than Mira, Jonas, the dragons, and I had heard the joke. But Batari just stood up straight, ran her hands along her arms, and chuckled awkwardly.
No, Tyrion,
the Queen Mother mused.
There will not be a festival for this particular event. However, that was a particularly tough battle, and I think we've all earned a bit of rest and relaxation, have we not?
Yeah,
I admitted through a yawn. I think I'm going to go hit the sack. We were up all damn night.
Oh.
Batari's eyes looked downward, and her voice was full of disappointment.
I was going to suggest we all go and relax in the mud pits.
Yes,
Ashanti declared.
That would be the greatest thing in the world right now. My body's aching all over, and a quick dip in the warm mud would really hit the spot.
A bunch of sexy, scantily clad rhino women wallowing around in mud? Suddenly my desire to go to bed completely disappeared. Did I say bed? What I was trying to say was I wanted to go off and relax, too. I didn't know the mud pits were an option.
What else would they be for?
Ashanti mused.
Zakiyu?
Batari called out as she looked for the stable hand.
Would you be willing to take our Mirax back to the pasture for us?
Don't mind if I do,
Zakiyu's bubbly voice said as she stepped through the crowd.
I'll get these little fellows back to their home and then sing them a lullaby. They've had a real long day, too, so I'd imagine they just want to pass out as well.
Speaking of passing out,
Mira yawned.
As much fun as the mud pits sound, I think I'm going to go to bed. Me too,
Daria announced.
After that long night, I'm not even sure how I'm keeping my eyes open right now. Me eyes are, sister,
Zarya muttered.
Me eyes are.
It's all right, guys. You all go off and go to sleep. You've definitely earned it.
Can I sleep on Batari's shoulders?
Swa'er asked through an innocent yawn.
Oh, no, my friend. We dragons have a special place where we rest. Come, Tyrion and I will show it to you. You will? Let's go.
George, Tyrion, and Swa'er all headed off in the direction of the dragon pavilion. Meanwhile, Zakiyu went around and gathered up all of the Mirax that the Chera women had dismounted. Each one of the oversized Anns followed behind the brunette woman like a trained puppy. And soon she had a whole army of insects marching behind her. Zakiyu let out a shrill whistle, motioned for the Mirax to follow her, and then began to walk in the direction of the stables. The Anns followed her without so much as a second of hesitation.
If you don't mind, Ben, I think I'm going to retire as well.
It's fine. Actually, let me put it this way. Is there anybody here who doesn't want to go to bed?
We won't,
Lazan announced.
Nadira and I are both fully charged and ready to tackle whatever this day may hold for us.
Nocturnal creatures. You had to love them. Okay, then. I laughed and turned back to the Chera women. Nadir, Lazan, and I will accompany you all to the mud pits. The rest of our crewmates bade us good night and then headed to the huts on the outskirts of the village. And after they were on their way, Ashanti motioned for us to follow her. The herd of rhino women headed out to the bubbling mud pits, which was the same place where I'd gathered up the sticks for the effigy earlier. There were dozens of holes dug into the ground, with clearly defined edges, and filled to the brim with wet, liquid mud. The whole area was clearly divided into two sections, with the pits on the left still and slimy, while the pits on the right steamed and bubbled. I assumed half of them must have been warm, while the others were cold.
Tambori's tusks.
Batari whistled.
There is nothing better than a warm mud bath after a long day of celebration and fighting.
Though we usually do those in the opposite order.
Rikuri chuckled.
I think this is the first time in my life where a celebration led directly to a long, drawn-out battle. Warm, Mud?
Baratu's voice grumbled.
I've never understood why anyone would want to go into warm mud after a fight. Whenever I do that, it just makes my body feel like it's aching even more. Give me mud that's as icy as the sea in the cold days.
Actually, either one works for a sore body, I explained with a raised finger. Back on my world, we actually have this thing called icy hot that you rub onto the spot on your body where it hurts. It starts off super cold and numbing, but then dulls into something warm and soothing.
I wonder if you get the same sensation running between the two types of pools.
Batari pondered aloud.
Nope.
Ashanti shook her shaved head.
Tried it before. Sensation completely goes away by the time you get out, run across a field, then jump into another pit. I tried both ways, too. First hot to cold, then with cold to hot. How did your people capture such a mystical power?
Zamwe questioned with bulging eyes.
Are there particular herbs that need to be mixed together to make it work?
All I know is it's promoted by Shaquille O'Neal.
He sounds like a great and powerful shaman. You must arrange a meeting between the two of us as soon as you return to your homeland.
I don't think that's going to be possible. I've never met the guy personally. Plus, I'm not going back to my home. I live on the Dragonkin Island now.
What are you talking about? You're the Draco Rex. I thought that island was your home.
Yes and no. I may be the leader of the Dragonkin right now and look like one of them, but that wasn't always the case. I came from a very, very faraway land called the United States, which was in a whole other world, I think. Jonas never really made it clear if we're still on Earth or another planet or a different dimension.
Another dimension?
The hornless Chero woman crossed her arms across her chest.
What does that even mean? Is that a type of island?
It's like a place that exists in a completely different time and space. One you can't see with your eyes, but exists at the same time. Or something like that. I skipped physics the day they taught us about string theory.
Fascinating.
Zamwe gasped.
That sounds almost like the land of the gods in the underworld.
Exactly. I snapped my fingers and grinned at the shaman. It's a lot like those, where you know they exist, but they aren't really a physical place you can go while you're alive.
That's not true at all.
The shaman quirked her head to the side, which caused her knee-length locks to sway.
You most certainly go to our underworld in the land of the gods. You just have to drink a certain mixture of herbs, ground up together, then mixed with palm wine. Then you simply wander out in the plains, sit down, and wait to be transported to a world beyond our own.
Spirit tripping. Zamwe was talking about getting high and going on a spiritual journey in the wilderness. Still, I didn't want to rain on her parade, so I kept my lips sealed. Close enough. I nodded. All you need to know is Jonas used his magical abilities to bring me to this world, and it was the best thing to ever happen to me. Ever since then, I've been traveling around, saving innocent people from those awful green bastards, and liberating island after island.
And helping to repopulate?
Lizanne noted, as she patted her slightly pregnant belly.
This is the most important part.
That too. I grinned. Though I kind of figured that was just implied by the fact that everywhere I go, I leave a trail of pregnant women in my wake.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
Batari chuckled.
If not for you, the Chero woman might have never had a natural-born child. We would die out as a race.
Well, we can't have that. I winked at the white-haired Queen Mother. You guys are way too badass to die out. And now that the orcs have gotten a taste of what you're capable of, your legend will spread like wildfire around their network of civilizations.
As it should!
Rikuri laughed.
We ground their dingy asses into the dirt. Hopefully they'll fear us as we once feared the Scutawar.
Batari mused.
But for now, let's soak in this victory.
Almost instantly after the words had left her mouth, Batari sauntered over to the edge of a bubbling mud pit, gently stepped over the side, and then lowered herself down into the pit's depths. The slick, light brown mud rose up to her midriff and then slowly over her large breasts, until nothing but Batari's head was sticking out. Without so much as a warning, Ashanti sprinted over to the same pit, jumped over the edge, and plopped into the warm mud with a hearty splash. Batari's face scrunched up into a scowl as she shot daggers at the other Chero warrior. But Ashanti didn't seem fazed whatsoever. Instead, the Chero archer just leaned back against the edge of the pool, placed her hands behind her head, and let out a deep sigh as she closed her eyes.
"Horns up!"
Rikuri cackled, and then she took a running start toward the same pit.
What? Curry, wait!
Batari's eyes went wide as the hornless woman approached, but it was far too late. Rikuri jumped up into the air, curled her knees up into her chest, and cannonballed straight into the mud pit. The warm liquid inside splashed up like a geyser as her body disappeared beneath the surface, and bits of slimy warm mud splattered all over Ashanti and Batari's faces and hair as they gasped and grumbled in response. When Rikuri finally popped up, both of her friends glared at her angrily.
What?
Rikuri giggled and wiped the mud off her eyes.
It's always better to just plunge right in.
You didn't need to literally plunge,
Batari grumbled.
Y'all are crazy,
the cook Baratu mused.
I'm going for the cold pits.
I watched as the blonde woman strutted toward the other side of the pit, all while several more charros followed her. The cold pits must not have been as deep, because the women who climbed into them were only covered up to their waist. Baratu let out a long, deep sigh as she leaned forward and laid out in the mud. She then began to roll around slowly, like a dog who was having the time of their life during a rainy day. The blonde woman's body was covered with the cold, clay-like mud, and she seemed to be loving every second of it. How did I know it was cold? Well, Baratu's bikini top was now plastered to her chest like a second skin, and her nipples were so hard I wondered if they were going to rip through the fabric. The same phenomenon seemed to happen to the rest of the Chero women who entered the cold pits, including Zamwe. As I watched them rub the cold, wet material all over their bodies, I felt a familiar, throbbing sensation building up between my legs. Yeah, I was going to go for the hot pits, and I needed to get there quickly before my hard-on was out there for the world to see. Mind if I join you? I asked as I walked up to the pit with the three Chero friends in it.
Of course not.
Batari shook her head.
It's always a pleasure to have the Draco Rex in our presence.
Ben, I reminded the white-haired woman. Please, just call me Ben. It would be kind of awkward if I went around calling you Queen Mother all the time.
I guess that's true.
Batari shrugged.
I've just always thought it was more proper to address people by their titles.
Well, you're in luck!
Nadir giggled as her and Lazan approached.
Because we don't have any special titles to go by.
Nadir didn't hesitate as she sat down on the edge of the pit, dipped her feet in briefly, and then pushed herself into the warm mud. Since she was a little shorter than the rhino women, her body was covered up to her chin, and the tip of her tail peeked out an inch or so from the surface. Then Nadir smiled widely as she leaned back against the wall and sat down.
That does look relaxing,
Lazan admitted, as she ran her hand through the white side of her hair.
But this just looks like a huge mess to get out of our fur.
Don't worry about that,
Rikuri noted.
It's common practice for us to go over to the lake when we're done, wash ourselves off. As relaxing as a mud bath is, it just becomes uncomfortable when you get out and it starts to harden.
Well, when you put it that way.
Lazan giggled, and then she slid down into the bubbling liquid. I didn't want to get mud all over my good clothes, so I quickly pulled off my boots and laid them to the side. Then I did the same with my weapons belt as well as my shirt. Nadir purred.
Ben's giving us a show.
I figured you had some muscles underneath that baggy shirt.
Rikuri joked.
I will admit I didn't expect so many scales, though. That's the best part.
Batari mused.
They gave him protection against his enemies and accentuated his abs. What more can you ask for?
Batari's comment sent all five women into a fit of giggles. Easy there, ladies, I warned with a smile as I sat down on the edge of the pit. There's not enough of me to go around for all of you.
How do you know that?
Lazan teased.
Sela told me about your little romp with Auron Mira back on Demorpho Island, you know.
That was only two women. I shrugged, though I felt my pants tightening at the memory. I'm not sure I could handle five at the same time.
You wouldn't have to handle them,
Ashanti purred.
They'd handle you.
Yep, it was time to get into the pit before my raging erection tore through my pants. I placed my feet into the mud and instantly felt its warm embrace, mixed with a slight tickle from the bubbles as they rose against it. Next, I took a deep breath, slid myself over the edge, and let the thick, gooey mud surround me. Actually, it was a much more pleasant experience than I would have imagined. The temperature of the liquid was on the higher side, but it wasn't overwhelming. Upon first glance, I figured it would be something like a hot tub, but in reality it was more like a warm shower. Almost instantly, I felt all the tension in my body dissipate as the warmth increased my circulation and relaxed all of my muscles. Then I moved over between Lazan and Nadir, felt around until I found the stone lip that acted as a seat, and placed myself firmly on top of it. Holy shit. Oh, this feels incredible.
Told you.
Ashanti giggled.
After a long day of hunting or building or training, nothing beats coming out here and sitting in one of these things for a few hours.
It is really therapeutic. Did you know that back on my world, people would pay to do this sort of thing? It was seen as fancy. Rikuri snorted.
The only thing fancy about these pits is the fact that they were built on top of underground hot springs. Is that why the mud is bubbling? Because the water underneath it is so warm. The water isn't underneath it.
Batari shook her head.
The warm pits are dug deep enough so the mud mixes in with the water from the hot springs. As you might have noticed, the cold pits are much shallower. That so the mud doesn't get anywhere near the warm water stays cool.
Damn, you guys really thought this through, huh?
We can't take the credit. This was all Zakiyu. Even though her peppiness can get annoying sometimes, the woman is a genius. She really is.
Batari agreed.
Every single major breakthrough in our society came from her, Baratu, or Zamwe. We're just the grunts of Chero society.
Ashanti mused.
We're good for nothing but fighting and hunting.
Hey, don't be so down on yourself. I shook my head. All three of you ladies are royalty, and the rest of your village looks up to you as leaders.
That's because Tembori chose me to lead him.
Batari muttered.
If not for his divine intervention, I would just be another random Chero warrior, and you'd be courting one of these two right now. Come on, Batari. What'd we tell you about that sort of talk? You're the best leader we could possibly ask for.
Ashanti added.
Trust me, if Rikuri and I were in charge of our people, we'd have been scooed to our dung a long time ago.
You also have Swa Air, I reminded the Queen Mother. Dragons don't just bond with anybody. That little guy knew you were special.
If you say so.
Batari rolled her dark eyes and then closed them as she leaned her head back.
All I know is the burden of leading's upon me, and I've been doing my best for the last few hundred season cycles.
Keep up the good work. Trust me, you're doing a damn good job. From what I can tell, all of your people respect you and care about what you have to say. Back where I come from, that's not always the case with leaders.
It's not. If that's the case, why don't your leaders have the non-believers executed?
Because it's against our code of laws. Although I'm sure there are plenty who want to. The six of us relaxed in the bubbling mud pit for nearly an hour. It was a serene experience as I sat there with the comforting embrace of the warm liquid around me, with my eyes closed and my mind completely turned off for the moment. All I could hear was the gurgle of the bubbles as they rose to the surface of the mud and popped, as well as the gentle breeze that now rolled along the savanna. Then Baratu's voice came over the pits like a loudspeaker.
What in Tembori's name are you doing, Zamwe?
The chef growled. I opened my eyes to see Baratu standing in the cold mud pit, still covered with the clay-like substance. Her hands were on her hips, and her mouth was contorted into a forceful scowl. Meanwhile, Zamwe stood opposite Baratu. The shaman's long hair was plastered with mud, and strands of it were clumped together like a straw hut as they clung to her body.
I don't see what the problem is,
Zamwe argued.
This pit always has the coldest mud. I couldn't wait any longer for my turn.
You know the rules,
Baratu grumbled.
This is my special pit. As long as I'm sitting here, nobody else can use it.
You don't own any of these pits. They were a gift to us from Tembori and modified to perfection by Zakiyu. If anything, she's the only one who may lay claim to a certain pit.
I've been using this specific pit for 10 season cycles. You'll get a turn once I'm done.
Don't make me do this, Baratu.
Zamwe sighed and rolled her eyes.
Please do.
Baratu grinned.
You've tried before, but it never quite works in your favor.
Fine.
The shaman stomped her foot and raised her right hand to the sky.
Then, by the ancient rites of Tembori, I declare a Wallow Triku.
Wallow Triku?
Ashanti gasped.
It's a Wallow Triku.
What's a Wallow? I began. But Rikuri was quick to explain.
It's a competition that goes back to the early days of our people. When two Chero women are in direct competition for anything, they can declare a Wallow Triku. Basically, it's a non-lethal battle where both fighters try to pin the other one, and it almost always takes place in these pits.
Mud wrestling. These two women were about to mud wrestle.
Come on!
Ashanti motioned as she stood up and climbed out of the mud pit.
I don't want to miss this. We all know how it's going to go.
Batari rolled her eyes.
Zamwe will put up a decent fight, but Baratu will eventually overpower her due to her superior size and strength. Happens every time.
Maybe this time will be different.
Rikuri shrugged before she climbed out of the mud.
Come along, Queen Mother. You're the one who's supposed to judge. I know.
The Queen Mother followed Rikuri out of the pit, and then they both dashed over to the spot where the competition was about to take place.
I want to see this,
Lazan admitted.
Don't you two?
I gave the Kunag woman a cautious nod, though Nadir had a much different reaction.
That sounds like the greatest thing ever. Let's take a look.
The two raccoon women pulled themselves out of the pit, shook their tails like a wet dog, and flung bits of mud all over the ground. Then Lazan and Nadir giggled to each other as they joined the forming crowd of Chero women around the mud pit. I pulled myself out right after them, but quickly realized I was in for some trouble. The fabric of my pants was very light, so now my pants were flattened against my body so tightly that you could see everything below my waist. Maybe if I just stayed near the back of the crowd, nobody would notice how hard I was. I tried to pull the fabric away from my member, but it was no use. I was going to have to deal with it for better or for worse. So I made my way over to the crowd, positioned myself behind Nadir and Lazan, and then peeked up over their shoulders.
You both have done this enough times to know how it goes,
an unenthusiastic Batari mumbled.
Whoever gets their opponent down for 5 straight seconds will be declared the victor. No weapons, no fighting dirty, understand? I do.
Zamwe nodded.
As do I.
Baratu confirmed.
All right, great. Then begin on my signal.
Batari took a step back, raised her hand in the air, and let out a sharp whistle. The second she did so, the two combatants got to work. Zamwe charged straight for Baratu, grabbed her legs, and then attempted to knock her opponent off her feet. But it seemed like Baratu was more than ready. The Chero chef threw her arms around Zamwe's waist, and then lifted her body up so it was parallel to Baratu's. I half expected the rhino woman to do a frickin' pile driver, but instead she simply fell forward with the shaman still in her grasp. The two rhino women slammed into the mud with a wet splat, and sent spittles of the liquid all over. The rest of the crowd cheered as Baratu rolled off Zamwe, and the shaman wearily stood back to her feet. Zamwe's entire front was covered with the cold mud, though it kind of blended in with her gray skin. The shaman's hair was slicked into thick clumps of goo, and her bikini top was now slightly ajar. She wiped the mud out of her eyes, shook her head, and then went in for another attack. This time, the shaman ran toward Baratu, jumped into the air, and grabbed her opponent's arm. Zamwe used her momentum to flip around behind Baratu, where she then promptly kicked out her back leg and sent her face first into the ground. Baratu gasped before her face splattered into the mud. Zamwe held the chef down in the wet clay while the rest of the crowd began to count.
One, two, three!
Baratu shoved her hands into the ground and then let out a mighty heave as she propelled herself backward. She pushed with enough force to knock Zamwe off her back, so Baratu promptly spun around and took out the shaman's legs. Zamwe's back splattered in the mud, and then Baratu was on her. However, it looked like the shaman was too fast. Zamwe rolled out of the way just as Baratu's body landed, and all Baratu ended up getting was a face full of mud. Then the shaman pressed her foot into Baratu's back, held her down, and began the count again.
One, two, three, four!
At the very last moment, Baratu flipped around, grabbed Zamwe's leg at the ankle, and twisted her down onto the ground. In a singular motion, Baratu then rolled over so she was on top of Zamwe, lifted the shaman's leg up into her chest, and held her there.
One, two, three!
Zamwe struggled and kicked to escape, but it was no use. Baratu was much larger than she was, and it looked like she was a much more experienced fighter.
Four, five!
Baratu released her hold on Zamwe before she sprang to her feet and held her fist high. The Chero chef was breathing heavily as she soaked in the cheers from her friends and tried to recompose herself. Baratu's high ponytail had come undone, so her blonde hair was now unkempt and slicked down against her body in all directions. Her bikini top was pasted to her skin, and the bottoms of her outfit had shifted so that her thick, curvy ass was on full display. I was hard as a rock.
And for the 50th time,
Batari announced,
the winner is Baratu. Better luck next time, Zamwe. Fine.
The shaman grumbled as she scraped the mud off her skin and walked out of the pit.
I'll just wait my turn, as usual.
The Chero women continued to cheer for their champion, but I was completely distracted by Baratu's figure. I knew the Chero chef was curvy, but damn,
I never expected her to look that good underneath. And that was only a glimpse. I started to wonder what she would look like in all her glory, without the mud or the fabric covering her.
Oh my!
Nadir suddenly gasped.
Wow.
Lazan bit her lip as she looked down at my cock and my pants.
Somebody is a bit excited.
Well, I mean, yeah. I shrugged unapologetically. Can you really blame me? Look at what just happened.
Who cares what just happened? All that matters is what's about to happen.
My heartbeat increased tenfold as Nadir and Lazan exchanged a sensual glance, and then looked down at my manhood once more.
Let's go get ourselves cleaned up.
Lazan cooed.
We'll all need to be nice and fresh.
Both of the Kunag women could hardly contain their excitement as they grabbed my hands and started to lead me away from the group. Even though neither of them had come out and said it, I knew what was about to be coming. Both of them on my cock.